It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that February is almost gone. It just seems like yesterday we were talking about the holiday season and that January came and went, and now February is almost gone. So depending on when you listen to this, February 23rd and 24th, I hope your February was great and your Valentine's Day was great. Big shout out to my running friends. We have had several winter wilds in January and February. We had one at Pat's Peak, one at Ascutney, and a couple in the North Country. So I want to thank all my running friends for being out there and running up and down the mountain. Northeast Delta Dental is one of the presenting sponsors. One of the great things about this radio show, it's given me an opportunity to kind of explore other community activities beyond oral health and beyond sports and wellness. And with me this weekend, February 23rd and 24th, is Virginia Drew, who is going to tell us about the New Hampshire State House and some opportunities we now have. But let's start, Virginia, and tell us about your background. You're one of the few people I know that actually was born in New Hampshire, so I congratulate you on that. So tell us about your background.
So I'm born and raised in New Hampshire, and I have done a variety of different jobs. But about 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the New Hampshire State House Visitor Center. I have not left. In fact, someone asked recently, was I ever thinking of retiring? But when you find a job you love, you stick with it.
It's not a job when you love something, right?
That's right.
That's how I look at my job.
Every day is interesting. Every day is fun. Every time I walk into that building, I feel pretty privileged to be able to call it my workplace.
Awesome. And how long have you worked for the New Hampshire State House Visitor Center?
I started in the year 2000. And
so right after Y2K, you thought the world was going to end because of the turn of the century, but it didn't. So
it
here
didn't.
We are.
It didn't end. And it was when I came in, it was the year of women. It was the first time in the United States a female Senate president, Speaker of the House, and a female governor had ever been in leadership. And since then, I've seen many moments of history at the New Hampshire State House.
That's awesome. Tell us the background on the State House. We know that it's the oldest sort of one that's still operational. So when was it constructed, and when was the official opening?
So between 1816 and 1819, the State House was constructed. New Hampshire granite, quarried right down the street, what used to be Rattlesnake Quarry. Today we know it as Swenson's. We utilized...
Kurt's a good friend of mine. I never knew the rattlesnake story.
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently it was because of rattlesnakes. So that's the bad part of that.
Oh, geez.
But we also used New Hampshire prisoners to cut the stone. And so we used all of our New Hampshire resources. The building, when it first opened, June 2nd, 1819, it was a big day. It was the opening day of the session. They used to start meeting in the summer. Today, we start meeting in January.
Little do people know how active it is, you know, and obviously they're not really getting heavily compensated. So it's great that we have the citizen legislature. And I know I was actually at a hearing in February on the Medicaid expansion for the adult dental benefits. And when I was chair of the State Board of Education, I spent a lot of time there in January's and February. So it's great to see it in action. So it's pretty vibrant all the time now, right?
The State House always has people coming in for a variety of things. Obviously, right now, it's the midst of the legislative session. And we recently had the governor's budget address, which always kicks off budget season at the State House, so things will be heating up. But not just legislation, because thousands upon thousands of New Hampshire school kids visit our State House.
Exactly. Tell us about that, the fourth graders. I know Governor Lynch used to say that was one of his favorite days of the year when the fourth graders came in. So tell us how that all works.
So through the Visitor Center, we sponsor a education State House tour visit. We see typically 2 to 4 school classes come through a day. And as soon as spring comes up, we might see as many as 200 fourth graders in a single day. And we take them through the building. And what is very gratifying for me is that legislators call them their kids. Today, we had some children right from Concord. And legislators were showing up because their kids were here. And they love to have the students sit in the seats. So if the House is not in session or the Senate is not in session, fourth graders actually sit in legislator seats. They meet with legislators. It doesn't happen anywhere else. I have visited over 40 capitals in the United States. New Hampshire, it's the people's house. It's very open to the people. And fourth graders get the royal treatment. I will admit, Governor Lynch was a little over the top about fourth graders.
He was. He always used to talk about that when I would chat with him. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you've benchmarked other state houses across the country. So I assume that's with your role. You're on the executive board of the National Legislative Services and Security Association. Tell us about that and how did you get selected for that?
So NLSSA, National Legislative Services and Securities Association, is part of NCSL, which is the National Conference of Legislators. And this is a staff division. We all work in an environment that is not typical for a workplace. So we have organized. The 2007, I went to my first conference, and I'm kind of a person that steps forward, and I put myself forward. I became a region district chair, and from there, I've been on the executive board since, I believe, 2009. I love getting to go to other capitals and compare. No one compares to New Hampshire. I often tell people, I apologize, I'm obnoxiously New Hampshire.
And it's good to be proud of New Hampshire, and of course, I think we have the largest citizen legislature, correct?
We have the largest state legislature in the country. Pennsylvania's second place, 203, so we laugh at that. That is about half. In the English-speaking world, we're the fourth largest. So New Hampshire people are the best represented people in the entire country.
And like you said, you also have access to them. I mean, just a few weeks ago at Northeast Delta Dental, we had a legislative reception, and actually we've been doing it for 20 years, and over 100 legislators showed up, and it was just mingling, and so you definitely have access to your legislators, which I think that's really a cool thing about living in New Hampshire.
And it is one of the greatest things, because it's regular people, and if you live long enough in New Hampshire, you could very easily find your way into the legislature. And we have people from every background, every profession. And for them, it's really a huge sacrifice, because you're getting, per the Constitution in the 1800s, you will be compensated with $200. And Uncle Sam recognizes that as a paycheck. So they take out taxes, Medicare, Social Security. And these people are not in it for the money. They're really not in it for the fame. In New Hampshire, almost everyone could almost say they're a representative. They're in it for the service. And I love that they take it so seriously. You don't have to always agree with someone, but when you know that someone's balancing their home life, they're balancing perhaps their job. We have college students. We have a couple of teenagers, maybe more than that even this year. Younger people have come out and are taking a more active role in government.
It's true. At our legislative reception, I saw a lot of younger legislators and obviously some more seasoned legislators, but it's a great balance. The website is gencourt.state.nh.us/nh. And if you want to get information on Visitor Center, then just type in Visitor Center. So let's segue into that and tell us your role in the Visitor Center, which I know you've worked there since 2000, and one thing I found too with this radio show, that a lot of New Hampshire residents, they may never have been to the Discovery Center, they've never been to the Flume, and believe it or not, they've never been to the State House. So tell us why, even if you're a grizzly New Hampshire citizen that has been here a long time, why you should take a trip over to the State House.
Well, number one, it's your building. And we say that really every day, several times a day. It's funny, I'll sometimes see people standing out in front of the building looking at it. And I'll say, you can go in, you know. And they're like, really? Recently, because of the bicentennial, we've seen a lot of people hear about the State House as a tourist place, as some place to go and visit. It is a working building, but it is also a building filled with New Hampshire history. There's no admittance fee. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You can come in anytime. If you go to the visitor center, we offer self-guided tours, but we also, thanks to the New Hampshire Granite State Ambassadors, we can offer tours to anyone who comes in who would like to tour their building.
That's awesome. And for groups of 10 or more, you can go onto the General Court website, which is gencourt.state.nh.us, to book a tour online. We'll explore this more after commercial break, but of course, this is the bicentennial year, because you obviously mentioned that the State House was constructed and finished in 1819 and opened on June 2nd, 1819. So if my math is right, June 2019, that's 200 years. So tell us what you have planned special, and we'll touch on it now, and then we'll detail it after commercial break.
Well, there is a Legislative Bicentennial Commission that has been working for the last 3 years, gearing up for this event. June 2nd will be the kickoff day, but each day during that week, they have wonderful things planned, such as the Supreme Court will be meeting and holding oral arguments in the House of Representatives. Back in January, they actually did a kickoff event and held an actual Supreme Court case in the New Hampshire State Senate, a room that used to house both the Senate and the Supreme Court. We also have a Governor's Day, and we're inviting governors to come back to the State House. We're having a Legislative Old Home Day, which will probably be the most momentous day, because every person who has ever served in the New Hampshire State House Legislature has been invited to come back.
Wow.
That should be
thousands.
A lot of people.
Yeah, that's really cool. Hopefully most of them will show up. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Okay, so again, the website, gencourt.state.nh.us/NH, and then if within that, visitorcenter/default. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and this weekend with me is Virginia Drew, who is a fixture at the New Hampshire State House and the Visitor Center, has a long history, which he explains. So, Virginia, getting back to the State House, so we know it's the oldest State House. It's the most functional. We have the largest legislature, as you pointed out correctly. It's kind of like our house. But, of course, like anybody's home, it needs to be kept up. So I know that we've had some recent renovations. So tell us about that.
So the most visible renovation happened in 2016 to 2017, and that was the reconstruction of the dome. That dome was put on the building in the midst of the Civil War and had not had a lot of work done to it. So the legislature had a huge project that was done as part of the bicentennial. You can see how beautiful the dome looks today. And they've done so much work that it should last another at least 100 years for all of us. The Senate chamber had not had a big renovation really since the 1940s. So new carpet was the order of the day, but that also began a new ceiling. They had had acoustic tile ceiling, and they took the tiles down. They redid the plaster ceiling. We redid all the wiring and repainted the entire room. And then one of the biggest things that happened is there are four amazing Barry Faulkner murals on the walls. And those murals were cleaned painstakingly. They used large Q-tip swabs. They actually mirrored the brush strokes of Barry Faulkner. And those murals are the highlight of the room and are now well framed with a beautiful carpet and paint. Governor's office, also not to be left out. The governor noted that the curtains had faded to the point that the dark blue curtains were light blue in many spots. And so he had new curtains put in and put the state seal in the room to give it a more stately looking. They also took the carpet up and uncovered a beautiful hardwood floor. Unfortunately, through prior renovations, the floor had had some damage, but they recarpeted it. But for the first time, they left approximately 2 feet all around of the hardwood floor so people could see how beautiful the room looks. The furniture in the room is from 110 years ago. The governor's office is in the back part of the State House, which we call the new house. It was done in 1910, but the furniture in that room, the table, everything was made 110 years ago.
And what's really cool, getting back to it being the people's house, I mean, if you want to meet with the governor, you can set up an appointment, you can walk in. Yes, you know, there's a trooper that sits there, but it's not like There's like 17 security guards, and it's just really cool that it is, you know, truly the people's house. So let's talk about the visitor center, since you have expertise on that as well, and tell us about the presidential primary display in there, as well as the Old Man in the Mountain and other paintings that are in there.
So the State House Visitor Center is right on the first floor. The room that we're in was formerly the Adjutant General's office. So we have a wonderful display highlighting the community covenant with the military in there, as well as memorabilia from military from years past. We love that we get presidential primary candidates to visit. I mentioned I was born and raised in New Hampshire, and I had buttons and some tickets from presidential visits back in the 60s and 70s. I made a small display. 2004, we got a couple of candidates. 2008, we got more than half the candidates. And the 2012 and 2016 elections, we had all the candidates come and visit us.
And if the number of candidates continue, you'll be an avalanche for 2020.
We have thought each year was the largest we have ever seen. And it's everything from people that maybe no one's ever heard of, but they've gone in, they've paid their $1,000, and they're running for president. And they might come in with only one or two people with them, to big name people like obviously President Trump, Hillary Clinton, who came with large groups, had big rallies. We always get our New Hampshire favorites. Vermin Supreme does come in with his rubber boot on his head. It's a great place to work during a primary season because we get to meet and chat with people who at least one of them will be president. And we have photographs of them. People will come in and start realizing how many of the items on our button board are autographed by the candidates themselves.
Wow. So every 4 years you get to see Vermin Supreme. That must be an honor. That's great. And the candidates. So I know, like, you know, we're about 5 minutes from the State House, Northeast Delta Dental, and over the years, many of the presidential primary candidates, you know, tour our building just to, you know, meet employees. So it's, again, another, you know, great thing about New Hampshire. Again, the website is gencourt.state.nh.us. Tell us, you know, I'm sure we've captured the imagination of people listening to this. So I think you have a great new video of people can on sale at the State House. So tell us about that, and where can you procure that?
So the Dome Restoration Project is on sale at the State House Visitor Center, as well as a brand new, the New Hampshire Historical Association recently published a booklet about the State House itself. It's full of wonderful pieces of history and photographs. We sell items for the Bicentennial. The Bicentennial Commission has created T-shirts, polo shirts. There is a Bicentennial tie that anyone who's anyone should be wearing that tie. We also have regular things such as flags, and you can get your U.S. flag at the State House. You can get your New Hampshire flag. We have New Hampshire items that are made by New Hampshire craftsmen, such as New Hampshire clocks. And one of our biggest sale items are beautiful cribbage boards in the shape of New Hampshire that are actually made at Correctional Industries. Where all possible, we try to always use New Hampshire vendors. And so it's a great gift shop. We do each year a ornament to highlight New Hampshire. They're limited edition. We sold out this year before Christmas.
Wow. That's awesome. Tell us, one of the things I'm always intrigued about is when I go over there, the Hall of Flags, and I haven't begun to count the number of, you know, battle flags and so forth. So tell us about that, and what was the background like? Like, who thought of the idea of having a Hall of Flags, or if you remember?
Yes. Yeah. So you're asking about my favorite room in the State House.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Yes. And so the Hall of Flags is first and foremost a memorial hall dedicated to New Hampshire's veterans. When the State House opened its doors 200 years ago, it was called Doric Hall. And there are the beautiful white solid columns in the middle of the room. And until after the Civil War, it was just a place to walk through, a place for legislators and people to gather and greet. After the war, New Hampshire's men brought home what was left of their flags. And as I tell the children, What was left of our men and what was left of their flags made their way back to our state house. I mentioned the visitor center was the Adjutant General's office, so that was where they came to leave off items before they went home. The Adjutant General in 1866 wrote a report to our New Hampshire legislators asking that they do something with these important banners of our history, that the poles and these flags were some of the last things that our men ever held in their hand. The legislature voted to build flag cases. The first set of flag cases were not large enough or adequate enough, so in 1899, the cases that you see today were built. There are 88 Civil War battle flags in their original condition on display.
That's impressive. Wow.
It is extremely impressive. And I mentioned I've been to other capitals. Most capitals are taking their flags and putting them away in a vault where they will be able to be kept forever, but no one can see. Every day, people can come and stand before the flags that our men carried. We also have flags from World War I, the Spanish-American War, World War II, and Vietnam. The students, when they come in, very often go and visit our Civil War mural that shows the Pickett's charge at the Battle of Gettysburg. Then we show them three sets of flags that were actually at Gettysburg.
Wow.
It's usually a speechless moment.
It's got to be Gettysburg, Pickett, yeah. Local flavor.
Yeah. New Hampshire's 5th Regiment sustained more combat losses than any Union army in the country. Those flags are in the Hall of Flags. Over the last few years, there's been a few specials through other televisions and radios, and I often speak about the flags. I had a gentleman come because he heard on one of the shows I mentioned the Richard Gill Forrester flag. That is a flag from the 13th Regiment. It is the actual flag that flew over the capital of Richmond, Virginia, when they seceded. It was tossed out. A free African American who was working in the capital as a page hid the flag beneath his cot. When the New Hampshire 13th marched in Richmond, they watched that flag be raised.
Wow.
His grandson, his great-grandson, and recently his great-grandchildren have actually visited the New Hampshire State House to see that flag.
Wow. I'm getting chills just listening to you, Virginia. You have so much passion and so much knowledge. We're so blessed to have you. We got to get you out there more, you know? So you can find her at the Visitor Center. And again, the website is gencourt.state.nh.us. You talked about portraits before and how to maintain them. So obviously, when you go into the executive council area, there's the portraits of all of our prior governors. And then, but throughout the whole state house is numerous portraits.
Over 200 portraits.
Right. And some of the names I recognize, some I don't. So you were starting to touch on, how do these all get kept up so they don't wilt away?
So the New Hampshire legislature has a committee called the Joint Legislative Historic Committee, and that committee receives an allotment every year through the budget to help maintain portrait restoration work, as well as the visitor center. When at the end of the fiscal year, the gift shop proceeds and profits can also go towards historical preservation.
Through the chamber, it's possible there's an occasional weekend where the state house is open, and that's something, a big shout out to the chamber and as well as corporations like Delta Dental that contribute to that. But that's on an ad hoc basis. I just wanted to remind people of that. The website again is gencourt.state.nh.us, and you can click on Visitor Center. Thank you, Virginia Drew. We are so blessed to have you.